What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory over sin and the devil. Today, we are talking about polygyny again, and this time the 10 benefits. These are 10 things that I've gathered based off my research of polygyny. I've been studying polygyny for about 2 years now. Most of it's been testimonies from actual polygynous families. There's a guy named Hondo Salomon, who is a researcher of polygyny. I bought one of his books. He's currently working on another book. He grew up in a polygynous family, and he's currently doing research and writing another book on it. So I've been listening to his information. And then, of course, there's YouTube videos and channels of polygamous families. And they sit and discuss their life and what's going on. And the wives may just be talking most of the time. And so I've been gathering information. I've also seen a few shows that they had on, I think, the Lifetime channel, I think. The clips are on YouTube, and they show, you know, different polygynous families and what's going on. So I've been studying this for a while, and this is the 10 benefits that I've come up with regarding polygynous families. So number one, and this is from a more of a biblical biology standpoint, it supports a man's drive to procreate. So a man he's developing semen on a daily basis, sperm on a daily basis, and this is for the purposes of reproduction. Okay, women have cycles, so they're not necessarily ovulating every day. All right, so it's a difference between a man and a woman, and so God created multiple wives and for the purposes for a man to be able to plant a seed and to be fruitful and become many. This is what the main command was in the beginning of creation. All right. And polygyny supports this, because otherwise you would just be having sex with women and not taking care of them. But polygyny brings women into a family structure where there's a head and there's a covering and there's protection and leadership and all that good stuff. So number one, it supports a man's drive to procreate. Men want to have sex and they want to procreate and have children. All right. And so a sub point to that is it eliminates the creeping around with strange women. Because a guy who is what we call a ladies man, or a man who women like a lot, and he's married, but he's forced to be monogamous, often leads to him end up cheating. Now, he can hold it down as best he can, but enough women coming at him because they like him, he should be able to interact with those women, marry those women, bring them into his family, and so forth. But because of forced monogamy, he ends up doing something else, either suppressing his sexual drive or committing what we call fornication. But polygyny eliminates all of that. It eliminates the fornication. Not to say that a man can't still fornicate, but he has the option to, if he sees a beautiful woman, he can get to know her and bring her on into the family. If he's sexually attracted to her, that's what he can do. Okay? Another thing that benefits the wives is still on point number one. It's that the wives know the woman that he's dealing with. So it's not these strange women that this man is dealing with. This is a sister wife to you, okay? This is a woman that you actually know. Now, whether you like her or not, that's another discussion. But the bottom line is that these are familiar people. It's not strange people he's interacting with. So that's the benefit. It supports his drive to procreate, all right? Number two, the second benefit is it gives the man, this is primary for the man right now, it allows him to have sexual diversity and satisfaction. Okay, all the wives don't fit everything. So he may want a wife that looks a certain way. He may want a wife that is more sexually free. He may want a wife that does this. He has the options to do that. And I know I can hear people already, that's lustful, that's wrong, that's sinful. But no, it's not. It's clearly in scripture that's acceptable by God. That's one of the reasons women exist, for sexual pleasure. And I can hear women, you're objectifying women and blah, blah, blah. That's part of your role, okay? And so if a man feels he's lacking in a certain area, or he wants some more sexual diversity, if he likes this woman because she has a larger set of breasts, or this one is prettier, or she has wider hips, or whatever, if he can take care of these women and they bring value to his home and he can create a union and a flow in his family, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. And I would say this is why when you read in scripture, you hear about a guy having many wives, as some scriptures say, like Gideon had, you know, one of the men of God. He had many wives. They didn't even name them. They didn't even number how many women he had. It just says many wives. And you'll see those scriptures in my last sermon on is polygyny supported by God. All right. So, you know, a lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's what God created women for. It's one of the reasons for sex and sexual pleasure and sexual satisfaction. All right. I know people are already upset. I've been losing subscribers because of these discussions. Every time I talk about submission, polygyny, manhood, men being leaders, your subscribers just fall off. You know, it just shows how upset people are about the truth. And a lot of y'all thinking from a mindset, y'all thinking from the filter of the world. The world is telling you one thing and what I'm teaching you is not aligned with that. And so you got a problem with it. But, you know, I'm not here for subscribers. My job is to preach the truth, whether you like it or not. And that's it. All right. Number three benefit here is that wives receive additional help with domestic duties. So like I said before, maybe I didn't. Maybe it wasn't recorded. In some of these polygynous families, they became polygynous because one of the wives, or the first wife, said, you know what, husband, I need help around the house. You need to get another wife. And before you know it, he got two wives now. She suggested it to him. Now, I'm not saying that usually that's how it's going to go down. But the point is that polygyny helps limit the strain on one woman, you know. Because I've looked at my own lineage, and my own grandma, I think she had about seven children. And my mother's grandmother had a ton of children. It was like, man, it was just her and her father. And it's like, how are you managing all? It's difficult. It's hard, you know. But if you got another wife, now you got two helping hands, you know. And especially if y'all live together and you're sharing the same space, now things are taken care of very swiftly. You got less strain, you got less drama on you because you got two people helping you. All right. Two or more wives can get the work done in half the time. All right. Now, for you ladies, here's another benefit, and we're still in the same point here, is imagine only having to deal with your children 3 or 4 days out of the week. That's the benefit of polygyny, because another wife can take them off your hands the other days. And you either spend those days with your husband or you spend those days working in his business or doing something else or some personal craft or something like that. It frees your time up because you got so much people around you to support you and help you. When it's just you and them kids. That's it. And I've seen a lot of women just complain, even when they got two children. They complain about so much work it is, and they just so tired and this, that, and the other. And they may even have a husband that's there also taking care of the kids as well, but it's just not enough. But if you had two or three more women in there supporting you, maybe it wouldn't be so hard. All right. So another point here is that you can focus on business while the other wife cares for your children. And once again, I just want to stress, the babysitter is a close relative. So instead of hiring somebody, some young kid down the street you don't really know that well, that's not part of your family, or a family member that's like not that close, or somebody that's like not blood. Another wife is a lot closer than even a blood family member because she knows your husband. You know, she's with your husband. Your kids are in better hands because of that. It's a deeper trust, and they have a deeper connection. And those kids they look up to her as auntie, or my second mother, or my third mother, or something like that. So additional wives, number three here, the point number three here is additional wives help with domestic duties. It makes it a lot easier. All right. Number four here, and this is for the women. You have sister wives. So you got somebody else to talk to. You don't just have to talk to your husband all the time, or just, you got other feminine energy around you. You got sister wives. You know, this is what they call them. You got other sisters that are in this with you. You're not alone. Okay. If you got a problem with your husband, you go talk to one of the sisters. They know him too. They literally know him too. You know, so you got so much support. When it's just you, you got to talk to somebody maybe outside the family, or you got to talk to somebody that's a close relative, but they're not in the mixed, and they can't really understand it because they're not really in it like that, you know? And that other woman has a vested interest in the family and its health just as much as you do in the husband versus somebody that's outside the family or a part of your family, blood. Maybe it's somebody on your relative side, but maybe they don't want to see the family succeed or something like that. The bottom line is, you got sister wives. You got a support team. Okay. Number five here. The number five benefit of polygamy is more children to expand your clan, which equals safety and strength in large families. Okay. So you got this big family. Once again, in scripture, that was important. Being fruitful as a man and producing. The more children, the better, because that's what God wants. That's what everybody wants, just a strong, big family. Okay? That's not always the case or the goal of polygamy, but it's certainly a great part of it. You know, your kids get to grow up with siblings, and they get to grow up in a family, and they have a support structure, and they have a healthy environment that they're growing in. They got a family, and then they got a clan. Like I said, you got several wives, and you got several children. You got a lot of people in your family. And you just got a big family of people who all come from the man, that the name of that man. And if he's a healthy, strong man, everybody else is going to be healthy and strong. And it's going to be a nice, warm environment where people are growing and they got siblings and people to talk to. And it's a nice little community within itself. That's the benefit of it. Number six here is related. It's that the benefit of polygyny is it expands your business and your wealth through the service support of more women or more wives. Once again, I talked about this. When you get a wife, when we talked about Proverbs 31 woman, we talked about some of the things she did. And she was a businesswoman. And she brought income into that family. And just double, triple that, quadruple that with women who are bringing financial value to the family. And along with the man's leadership, and what he's bringing to the table, you got all this wealth circulating. We talked about this before, how you got, even in America, if you got three women with different businesses or jobs they work in, where they're just bringing in a certain amount of income, at some point they can stop working those jobs, take the income, invest it by land, property, businesses, and grow and be self-sustaining as a family and don't have to work for somebody that don't care for them, who can drop them at any point. This is the benefit of polygyny. Little families, little communities, little businesses, your own little kingdom of support, your own little ecosystem, a micro community that's self-sustained because y'all got so much wealth. All right. And I also want to say this about the whole business and women being in business and the wives being business to the men, to the man. Soul tied employees are better than blood family and non-family employees, okay? So this is the reason I can hear people saying, well, you know, when Neil, won't a man just hook up with another brother in Christ and, you know, they put their businesses together and they kind of support each other like that, and it's not as close if you have a woman working for you, okay? Once again, women were created for men. They were created to aid a man. If a woman is in her full role as a woman, if she's embracing her femininity 100%, and walking in her femininity 100%, she can bring a lot of value to a man. She actually helps that man be great. And so say, what if he got three or four of them, and they all invested in what the man is building, and they go out and do their thing to bring value back to that family. Everybody's enriched from that point on. Like I said, because they are connected through soul ties, through sex, as we talked about, and what the effects of sex is in another sermon, in the past, that's a closer connection. And especially if the women desire the man, which a man should be searching for, women who actually have genuine desire, which can't be faked. If you got that level of connection with a woman where what we call the ride or die chick, she's down with the cause. She's going to do whatever to make you happy. She's in love with you. She's down for you. This is the type of women in relationships that just grow a man and his entire family. In this entire community. And this is what women were created for. You see? Now you contrast that with maybe the employees being certain family members. Now, certainly they're going to be employed as well. You're going to employ your brothers, your sons and your daughters. You're definitely going to do that. And cousins and whoever comes out of that. But the closeness level is going to be closer with your wives than it is going to be with your children, because your children may not want to do what you want to do. They're their own people, and at some point, maybe some of your sons don't want to follow in your business. Maybe they want to start their own business doing something else. You know, so they may not be as dedicated to your business, your legacy as you are. You know, so they're free to do what they want to do, you know, at some point. But the wife is closer. And of course, the farthest from your family is just some outsider that just wants a job. You know, they want to work. Like I said, when you look at corporations today, you got all these programs in place to make these people act like family when they're not. A lot of people go to jobs for paychecks. They don't want to be there. They're putting on a fake smile. They're not doing their best because they're not invested in the business, because they're not a part of the business. Corporation want to make somebody feel like they're family, but they don't have any resource or connection to them. They can fire them at any point. They don't care about them. They'll overwork them. You know, when you have your family members in there, you can stop and talk about any issues you may have because you know them. You don't know employees that are not family members of yours, that you don't know their background that much. You can do a background search, but you don't really know them like that. You don't have a deep connection with them because they didn't grow up in your family. So you're not that close with them. You know, so, you know, this is why I say, you know, more wives equals more wealth and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's why I say get women to help. And that's different from just starting a business with some male friends of yours or whatever, or hiring people on the outside. It's better to have people that you're, as a man, women that's down for your cause, that you are in a marriage with. Number seven here, the seventh benefit of polygamy here, or polygyny. It cares for the widowed and the single mothers. This is a place where a widowed woman can be married again. Women are not supposed to be alone by themselves. All right, now we live in a country where they got a structure where it seems like a woman can do that, but she's not built for that. All right, she's sustained now because of how this the country is set up. But you take those things away, she needs to be protected. She needs to be in a home. So her husband died, she gets to marry a man, be a part of his family. All right. And just like we mentioned before, there was a law in Israel where if your brother died who lived on your property, you have to marry his wife and bear a child to her if he didn't have any kids. You know, so those are the rules there. So for widowed women, this is a place where you can get remarried. All right. Now, for women who never been married, but they have children that are just by themselves. Once again, polygyny is there to rescue you. OK. You can be brought in, your children can be taken in, and everything will be taken care of for you. Okay, you have to bring value to the table. You're just not there to be, you know, to take up space and to take up energy and stuff, but you're there to bring value and you're taken care of. So there's no room. Polygyny saves women from being outside by themselves. That's what it's about. Women are always supposed to be with a man at some point. If you're not with your father, you're with your husband. All right. And I'm not saying that every man, you know, married men should just go around wifing up single mothers and widowed women. But I'm just saying that polygyny supports that. This is what it's for. Number eight here. This is another benefit, is every woman gets a man. So women talking about, ain't no good man out here with it. Well, here's a good man over there. He has a wife. OK, he's shown that he can take care of his wife. He's available. He can take you on, too. But no woman has to be single. And you're not supposed to be single. As I said before, if you're called to be celibate, that's one thing. You know, and God will provide ways for you to live. But most women are supposed to be married. That's what they're created for. That's what it says in scripture. A woman was created for a man, right? So if you're a good woman, you bring value to the table and a man can take care of you. You're able to come in and marry a man, even if he has a wife already or two or three. Number nine here, polygyny supports a man in this area if a few wives are dysfunctional or lacking in some area. So this could be mental or physical instability. Say, for instance, a woman can no longer walk, or she's paralyzed, or she lost her mind, or God forbid she lose her mind. But something happened to where she's incapacitated, and well, he's still gonna care for her, but he still needs a wife for other, you know, needs of his, and help with her. That's what other wives are for. Now, I heard a story a while back where a man, they were berating him and just tearing him down for what he did. Well, basically what happened is his wife got in a car accident. I think she got into a coma or something, and he ended up dealing with another woman while she was in a coma. And everybody felt like that was just this terrible thing for this man to do. He cheated on her. He wasn't with her, even though he was visiting the hospital and still caring for her. They made it seem like he was a bad person for cheating on her while she was in his weakened state. It was like even worse as if she wasn't in that state. But now that she's in that state, it's worse that he would do that. And all he was doing was getting his needs fulfilled. He still needed feminine energy and affection and sex and attention and love and all that kind of stuff. And his wife is in a coma. His wife is in the hospital. She can't provide those services for him. So what does he do? He gets another woman. Now, he wasn't marrying her, but he was just going based off his biology. He had needs, and he was fulfilling them. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to do it, of course, in the context of marriage. But because we live in a society where we're taught to be monogamous, you can only have one woman at a time, he was supposed to suffer, you know, as his wife sits in a coma, not being able to do anything. He's supposed to take care of her for the rest of his life while he sits with his needs unmet. No, that's not how it works. God created multiple women to serve as men, especially in instances like this. All right? He didn't discard his woman. It was simply he was trying to get some of his needs met while his wife was in this state, you know, not being able to service him. All right. And ladies, stop getting mad when I use the word service. When I talk about a woman helping a man and aiding a man, get mad at God, because he's the one that created this. And if you're upset with the Bible, then don't read the Bible. Don't call yourself a Christian. All right. I'm coming straight from the book. Everything I'm saying coming from the book. It's not a misinterpretation. It's directly from the book. Read it for yourself. And it's unfortunately, like I said, a lot of women, they've just been programmed to think that this is not what they are. I am not some service. I'm not some maid. I'm not some sexual object. I am not this. I'm not that. When that's what God created you to be, you know? And I'm at a place where I don't even argue with women about this. I'll let you be. You want to believe what you want to be, that's fine. But the consequence is going to be you're not going to be happy with the men that you interact with because you're not respecting the roles that God is setting up. And you could end up alone because you don't want to cooperate. So some other reason that a woman would be dysfunctional or lacking in the areas where, well, a man would get another wife is maybe she don't want to be a wife. Maybe he married this woman in a gynocentric social order, and he woke up and realized that I shouldn't be treated this way, blah, blah, blah. She's not willing to leave him, but he still doesn't get the love and support that he needs from her. Well, he can get another wife. And I've been mentioning that in my broadcast when it comes to adultery, when it comes to sexist marriage and things of that nature. Make sure you're a masculine man. Make sure you're doing your job as a man. And if your wife is not going to support you and do the things necessary to help you as a wife, get another woman that will. Okay? There's many other reasons. It's going to bother some of you women. Maybe your wife is too old. She just got too old. Maybe you want a younger model. This is really pissing women off now. How dare he? It's his right. It's his right as a man. If he wants a younger model, he can go ahead and get that. It doesn't say that he's going to discard you. It just says that, hey, this younger one over here is bringing me a lot of energy. He's adding a lot to my life. Sex, maybe one woman can't have sex or she's sexually oppressed or she's broken in some kind of area and it's just not working in certain areas. That's where you get another wife to fill in those other areas, right? And I can hear women again. We're just like tools. We're just something to just get in and install. If this part don't work, get another part. If this car don't drive, you know, get in. We're not discarding women, but this is what women were created for. And this is what it's hard for everybody to accept right now in the gynocentric social order, because women are led to believe that they're just like men. And they're led to believe that they're more than what they really are. You're not all that. You were created to aid a man and help a man. Okay, in exchange, he loves you and takes care of you as you bring value to him. Go back to the first, in the first scriptures in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, it's not good for man to be alone. God looked at man. It's not good for man to be alone. The word alone can mean all in one. So he put him to sleep, put a rib out and formed a woman. He took maybe the feminine essence out of him. Or the bottom line is he created a woman, something that was from his womb, a womb man, and said, this is going to be his counterpart to help him. And when a man went and got a second wife, he didn't say nothing about it. When he got a third wife, he didn't say nothing about it. When he got a fourth wife, God didn't say nothing about it, because he understood the purpose of women. This man may need four wives. I'm not going to tell him no. There's nowhere in scripture where God is condemning a man saying, how dare you get that fourth woman? Okay. Now we do see in scripture where the king is told not to multiply wives, but there's no number. It's basically stating, don't be excessive. And we all know when somebody's excessive, like, come on now, you can't even be with her. Like, we knew that Solomon was excessive. You got 700 wives and 300 concubines, man. Come on, man. You can't touch each one of those women in a year. You couldn't touch each one in a year. You're going, what are you doing, man? That's excessiveness. All right. Now, there are different levels of wives. Okay. And you got concubine, and so certain women require certain attention and stuff like that. So depends on what level the woman is. But the bottom line is that God didn't have a problem with the multiple wives, as I already stated. But this is why you would bring in another one if one is dysfunctional. If you need something else done that another one can't do, then you bring in another wife for that. And like I said, beauty, it could be sex, it could be certain skills that one lacks, which is just not good at it. And while you want to train her or teach her, it's just not her forte. She wasn't built for that. She came from a family where she's good at this particular thing, but she's not good at that other thing. Or you would bring in another wife that's good at that other thing. See, you know, and when I say these things, I know I can feel the pushback. I can feel the spirit, like, you can't say this, Neil. This is not what women are for. You're acting like they're just accessories and tools. You know, you can just bring a man for this and you get a good woman for that. You get a woman for this, you get a woman for that. This is what God created women for. You know, until you accept that, you're going to always have a problem with what I'm saying and what the patriarchal men are saying about women and how to interact with them, right? And my programming still runs when I hear myself say this stuff, but the word of God overrides it. You know, so I can feel you what you're saying, because I know how everybody's been programmed, because I've been programmed the same way, to think that women are equals, you know, that they should be kind of followed and worshiped on some level. At least they're equals. You know, I grew up with the mindset that they're equals, you know, and that, you know, you ask them if they want to do something. You don't command them. You try to compromise with them and see if they want to do this and see if they want to do that and see what they want to do. Maybe you want to go where they want to go and follow them sometimes. And, you know, that's not what a woman's created for. That's not her role. And once you give her that space to do what she want to do, that's where your family's derailed. That's where a man is going off the deep end. He's going off his path to success. He's going somewhere else. See? All right, so number 10 in the final one here, and this is kind of just connected to something I talked about earlier, but multiple wives, it benefits it's for political alliances. And this is why one of the reasons why Solomon had so many wives, because he was politically aligning himself with different nations. So he would take a wife from that nation, and now that supposedly solidified that him and his nation were cool. You know, and that was at the height of Israel's wealth and power. And so a lot of nations, like, we can't beat them. They got the power of God on their side, blah, blah, blah. Let's side with them. Okay, I'm going to give one of my daughters to this man, and she's going to marry him as a truce and a connection between, you know, our two tribes or our nations or whatever, and they're intermingled now, so there's no beef between the two of us because he's married. So, yeah, for political alliances, you would take a wife from another nation or another tribe to say that y'all cool and everything's fine. And then, you know, your nations will hang out with each other and intermingle. Your tribes will hang out with each other. So that's what polygyny is for, you know, alliances and stuff like that. So those are the 10 benefits. There's a lot more, actually, if you look at what I'm saying here. But those are the top 10. A lot of people don't like this, but it's going to come a time for you ladies where there won't be child support. There won't be the government assistance. And it'll be up to you to take care of yourself. And you're going to be scared because you know you're not capable. You know you need to be with a man. Okay, you're not independent. You're not strong. You need a man. You're vulnerable. That's how God created you, because you're not supposed to be by yourself. You're supposed to be with a man. And if he has a wife already, you can still be with him. Okay, and I know it's controversial. I know this, but we showed you in scripture. I gave you the scriptures in my last talk. Polygyny is the norm. Monogamy, or the prescribed monogamy, is the issue. Okay? Let these men have these women that they want. Okay? Instead of telling a man he can only have one woman and all this kind of stuff. So that's all I got for you today. These are the benefits of polygyny. If you're interested in polygyny, because you should be. If you're a woman of God, you should be. Because you say you follow the Bible, you say you love God. Well, the people of God practiced this, even in the New Testament. We talked about this. This was the norm. They didn't force themselves to prescribe monogamy. Okay, your society is doing that, all right? I don't care if the Christians are telling you this. They're not supporting the word of God. But I encourage you to look at, there's a YouTube channel called The Sister Wives. Check out that. Do a search for any polygynous family who has a YouTube channel. You can check out that. Of course, there are lifetime programs that talk about it. Now, of course, you know, they also try to spin it in a negative light sometimes for these polygynous families, particularly when it's a white family. If he's not smart enough, he ends up being interviewed and they'll cut the cameras and make it seem like he's something wrong with him and the women are crazy or whatever. I talked about this before, but just look at the ups and downs of it. Okay. There are some great benefits to it. Like I said, you go to cultures that have not been influenced by Anglo-Saxon philosophies, by Eurocentric mindsets, by feminism and gynocentrism, you'll see polygyny flowing and just working. All right. So I encourage you to check that out. In the sermon notes, I'll have books that you can read on polygyny, links to YouTube channels, of course, shows that we talked about, forums and stuff like that. Once again, your country, if you live in an Anglo sphere or a European country, of course, they're frowning on this. I've talked about why in my last sermon, why they don't want you practicing polygyny, why they make it look like it's evil and wrong. I've already discussed that, but just reconsider it. It's beyond a man just wanting to have all these women for sexual purposes. It's beyond that. Okay. It's a benefit to all these women. All right. And if you're a healthy woman and you know your role as a wife and you find a man that is patriarchal, he's doing well by his wife and he has resources and he has a plan, that's a good man. And you can be a part of that family. If he's a polygynous man, he's awake to the truth about plural marriages. Okay. That's all you really need. Okay. And I'm not supporting, of course, you know, dysfunctional people. Because dysfunction is just going to be multiplied. And I'm not promoting polygyny. I'm simply exposing the family structure that, you know, we've seen in scripture. And that is probably beneficial to everybody in a society for growth and health than what we have now. This forced monogamy stuff. This prescribed monogamy. Because people are just not happy in these things. You know, it's just not working. So that's all I got for you. Until next time, walk in the Spirit and be blessed.